on page 107. We're talking about Chasna and the relationship with the Bari Olam. It's in the context of Shuas, as we've been discussing the past few weeks. Where even though in this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have many, many responsibilities and obligations, and Kivyochel, even though it doesn't sound so appropriate to speak this way, but the Svarim do talk this way, the Kivyochel Hashem was also Makabel upon himself, so to speak. An Achrayis for us, for his Kala. But the essence of the relationship, can never be just what we do for each other. That doesn't make for a marriage. It doesn't make for a kesher, amiti, a pnimi. And that's what we're learning about. We'll try to see if we can get close to finishing the maimer. Page 107. Vina mitzias shkai. Vina mitzias b'shetach misaperes. Shaharbe Yehudim shezochu luchiyos lachaveis es hanesun hakadoshim shebechag Shavuos. Experience has proven to us, unfortunately, many times, that even if someone is able to live through a Shavuos where there is some feeling of this hiskashus, where there is a feeling of connecting, and that simcha that comes with a kesher. The problem is, chalshem atzum la'acha yontiv, sh'oivim at al natzav achir. We know that it's really very hard to preserve, to keep that feeling. It's hard like that in a marriage, it's hard like that in a friendship, and that's when you see the people in front of your eyes, and you hear back from them in a way that people converse in this world. How much more so when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So quickly what happens is that after Shavuos, Avram at el matzav acher, and shabay shuv ne'emar ha'adam mul atzmai. When the person once again sees himself for who he feels he really is. Just like you see that could be that for the chasna, the kala for that time of the chasna, because of all the excitement and the wedding gown and the special and the makeup and the hair and everything was so there was some little time in her life where she felt like a princess, where she felt like a real kala. But then it could be a short time afterwards when she looks in the mirror and she sees herself for who she really is, that she's not as beautiful as she was by the chasna. That's only emotional, of course, what we know in life. That's how it is. So it comes to after Shavuos, and the person's Shavuos Shuv Nemad HaAdam Mul Atzmai, where the person is once again looking at himself. U'kvar Eino Margish Atzmo B'Torah Kala. He doesn't feel anymore. It's already the wedding's over, the Shavuot Brachos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already finished. He doesn't feel anymore B'Torah Kala, this closeness, this doesn't feel anymore that he's worthy of being the choice of Hashem's heart. B'chiras liboy shal Hashem esbarach. Nagi eis shabay yari Yehudi l'targim es advarim al chay hamaisa. So of course, the same thing in a relationship, in a wedding. One does not live under the chuppah. You have to be able to translate that caring and that devotion and that feeling to be able to bring it into day-to-day life. People who live with the constant expectation of it being on such a madrega are doomed to disappointment. At the same time, people who don't live with any hope and expectation for a taste of the chuppah, so they're living a very, very sad and dreary life. It's the same thing in Yiddishkeit. A person realizes that he has to learn how l'targem, to translate, as hadvarim al chayi hamaisa, how to translate these feelings, and to somehow carry, on some level, to carry this kesher into the lamaisa of life, into one's day-to-day life. Pointel elimud v'kiyam atarba pile, and what better thing can we do than sitting and learning and trying to keep mitzvahs to the best of our ability? Ram chash ki biyadayim mefug mefoygig me'al atzmai, and so or ha'yehudi ashenog alav, and yet he can't help but feeling that somehow with his own hands he's dispersing, he's driving away that special light that he felt, that special kesha that he felt. Tachazois shiyam shechbayl l'chol yimei chayiv, en yodei ma misrachi shimei. Instead of what he thought, he was hoping that he'd be able to carry through with him. And he knows, he sees that this is not how it is. And he doesn't know what's happening to him. Hamadub l'holon negev nekuda achas ha-ko'evis b'harbei nefoshes shesoviv gilei ha-shloshim ve'eloch. He says, what we're going to be talking about now touches upon a painful nekuda in the souls of many, many people, particularly those in the age bracket around 30. It doesn't, but it's more common. Bor amoik, asheravim yoishim b'soicha ben vav sivan levav sivan. Remember, he was addressing younger light in Eretz Yisrael, most of whom in that community were learning for many, many years. And there is this high that's experienced on Shavuos by those who want that and work at it. And then they find themselves after Shavuos in a bor amoik, in a deep pit, which many sit in, ben vav sivan levav sivan, between shuas of tavshin ayin aleph and tavshin ayin beis. Ve'ein bekoichim leicholitz al oinag hanisuna shezochu bai. Just like you have, there are people who live between an anniversary and an anniversary. The anniversary is the highlight of the year, and there's some sort of a great feeling of reconnecting and so on, and it's beautiful, and they speak to each other. Even have there's a somebody here asked me about it. I remember that they had movies, something to redo your vows or something. I don't remember what they. Something that was a lush and nothing. But I'd like to get married again. To make like it's a chasna again. You know, if the Jewish caterers would get hold of that, that could be a very, very dangerous thing. So, but then what happens in between anniversaries? So you have people that they have in their relationship, a husband and wife, they have no chiyus. Unless it's an anniversary, it's a special occasion. But other than that, day to day, they're living also in a bor amok, in a deep pit. A deep pit. And we're not talking about people who, God forbid, yelling and screaming and fighting, and that's something else. But people are just nothing. There's nothing. Just like that. From one anniversary to the next anniversary. And it's the same thing. Again, for those who are deeply immersed in Limud HaTorah, Shavuos has much more meaning. For others, it could be Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. It's not Davke Shavuos. But Shavuos is the big chasna. Everybody connects to different yontif in a different way. Today, Lahamid Seirim Amaslo Limud Asher Yelchobo. Now he's talking to people. Probably this is the shmuz that he was giving, but to people that were learning already for many years, and they're at this time around the age of 30. Many of whom should probably be doing something else by that time, as we all know. But today, Lahamid Seirim Amaslo Limud Asher Yelchobo. We know that in order to help young people find their path in learning and settle into their learning, Lizchanech b'toyer liyishame b'kamea, to be able to become educated in Torah, and to be careful in mitzvahs. So one of the things that is done is nog l'hatsiv l'negdam misima limudis. One of the most effective things, and if it's not done, it's usually very, very obvious in that particular bismedrash of the particular kolo, means to give some sort of an objective, a goal, something to finish, something to complete. It's a very popular thing now. There are many kolim in Eretz Yisrael, they see that the fellows are losing their energy by a certain time. So in many of the kolim, they have the fellows work on svarim, on journals, and so on. Chidushim, it's a very, very powerful way to motivate, and other ways of motivating, to complete a certain limud. Shetia avuram yad hashana, that there should be a goal, an objective for the year. Something to complete, something to do. Uladar benam, litzoid la'ever hasagas hayad, and to encourage and to push the guys to move towards accomplishing that stated goal or objective. That's healthy for everything in life. It's healthy at work. It's healthy with everything. Zuhi efsharus na'a litzor haf'ala. This is a very pleasant and positive and good way to create haf'ala activity, to get things going, to get people working and get people moving. So ir b'shneis na'a einu b'shus ha'seichel. A young person, they're not so much, not everything is going with seichel, and the mind and the internal motivation might not be so strong, and therefore we have to create. It's important to create a mizgeres, clear framework, clear objectives and goals. Shimalu was chayev to fill this person's life. It's very sad to see where there are places where the guys that are learning, there are no bechinas, there's no way of evaluating, there's no objective criteria for remaining in that bismedrash, no particular goals to complete something by a certain time, just a blot, and then another few weeks later, there's another blot, which is nice, but as we know, that it's very, very hard, unless a person is really, really self-motivated, it's very hard to keep people going like that, month after month, year after year. And you see that everybody that's familiar with the system has seen the sad results of having chevra that just don't have any motivation. And the ever-increasing size of ben hazmanim, and so on and so forth. But all the things that go with that, and that we've spoken about many times, young people in particular need to have a clear mezgeres, to have something very, very specific, very clear. There's a wonderful thing now that there are a couple of chevra from the shul. I never saw the program, but I've spoken to three guys from the shul that are doing this now. There's a program in Eretz Yisrael called Pirchei Shoshanim. You heard of this? The people that are working people, the Balabatim, and there's a program, the Talmud Chacham, who runs this in Eretz Yisrael, where they're learning in order to get smicha, meaning that over the computer they're getting all the different Ma'ar Makaynas. They're learning right now Hilchos Shabbos, and they get different assignments, Ma'ar Makaynas, to finish, and there are tests, and there are centers, I think, places to go where they come. But mostly it's independent work, and that the people there in Eretz Yisrael, in this machon, they mark the tests and they go over, and you could ask them questions on the material, and they have to complete by a certain amount of time, and they pay a nice amount of money to be part of this, and the people that are doing this have told me that it's turned their lives around completely. they have such an excitement, they're working towards a goal, then they're going to go there. There's so much Hashem, they're going to go for Bechinus, I think, by some poskim or something, and they make a siyum, whatever. It's made in a very, very nice way. It's a different world. It's a different world from a person that takes out a sefer and looks a little bit at night. There's a lift of this, like this, and like that. And it's a different world. Yeah, like mamish on fire. On fire. I saw this when my son was on, when he was learning at the Sawbarrow of Rickwitz Kollel. He was there for 3 years. Rabitza Berkowitz, you heard of Rabitza Berkowitz? Big Talmud Chacham. So there in the Kollel, what he has, it's unbelievable, the pages and with the chinas and with the... He keeps everybody in a certain mahalach, and they learn from the Gemara through Torah, Shulchan Aruch, and Poskim, and not to go dragging around outside of that. You don't have time. You're so busy trying to keep up. And everything is in that mezgeris of the limud that they're learning, and then the chaburas, and everything revolves around that. And then they have shimush when they're learning those halachas. So then they go with Rabbi Berkowitz or some other dayan, and they go there and they see and they watch, and they see psak halacha, and they spend time shimush. I know that for my son, it turned his life around. After all these in yeshiva, and he was in very fine yeshivas, and not that they're all beautiful, but he was just like, you know, it was on, and without the feeling of being in some sort of a framework, and the pride that he had, when he took the bechinas and the smicha and everything, was a different, it was a different life, completely different life. And we understand lahavdil is like that with it. It's like that in secular education also. That if there's no mezgeris, a person likes to read. You know, but it doesn't. There's no mezgeris, and it's very hard for a person. There are some people who are very, very, very driven and self-motivated, but that's not common. Especially nowadays, it's very, very uncommon. And if it is, it's more by older people, not by young people. It's very, very, very rare to find such a person. Hashot mo'efeh bekanfei ruach. Oyvei, for someone who's in the years of being educated, where he's flying around bekanfei ruach, like, you know, just in the wind, just blowing around. You walk on Yerushalayim, like 10:20 in the morning, you know, you bump into thousands of these chevra wherever you go. Bekanfei ruach, what are you doing walking around here? So they could ask you the same thing. What are we doing here? 10:20. What are we walking around in Yerushalayim here in the morning? People are working already. Already davened. They davened at 5:30. Davened for seeking, and they already went to work. And they're at work at 7:00, 7:30. They're already working. People who are serious about their limud haTorah, they davened early, and they're sitting in the Bais Medrash early. From early in the morning, they already have spent the last 2 hours, 3 hours learning. Why are you meeting people at 10:00, 10:20, 10:30? Well, they're walking around Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. Again, I'm not saying God forbid that that's arrived, but there's a significant population, and they're just drifting, they're just floating, drifting. It's his 14th time trying to learn Bava Kama, and he never once finished the Mesechta, you know. So he knows a couple of Shmuel Rozovskis and a couple of Natali Trops, and he could say a couple of nice Hakiris in the Mesechta, but years and years and years. Drifting. Without being on a path, a maslul, that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, a goal. That's the beginning of education. That's the aleph base of education. Therefore, between us, I always found it to be a little bit not so honest when, you know, that we have this whole inyo with the government granting in Eretz Yisrael, the government and the kollelim and the colleges lahavdil. It's a little bit not honest when they always try to say from political parties when they're trying to get money, they always say, but you give money to the college students, so why shouldn't you give to the Bnei Yeshiva? Which I agree with, and I think everybody would agree with. But there should be the same kind of accountability you have. If people in the universe, they have are accountable. They're accountable. So they're held accountable with grades, with tests, and so on, and papers. So should other people, if they want money, they should be held accountable, and there should be a tachlis, again, of what we're learning and what we have to accomplish and being tested and what we learned and so on. If you're asking for money, if you're not asking for money, you do it. If your parents are paying for it, you do whatever you like. But if you're asking for somebody else's money, and you're comparing yourself to why are we any different than college students? College is not an open-ended. Lahavdil, talking about something secular, not making a comparison chas v'shalom between college and kol. But as far as that taina, college is not an open-ended thing. There are a certain amount of credits. You have to take your major, you take your minor, and you finish. And you're supposed to do that and go out and then make money and pay taxes. This is a certain mahalach. It's a little bit not honest, more than a little bit. It's very not honest to make such a comparison to guys that you'll see in B'nai Brak that's 44 years old and he hasn't worked in a long time, not necessarily in the Sugya and the Gemara either. So this is a problem that's now become causing a tremendous amount of tension. It's not a popular subject to talk about, but there's a problem. This problem, of course, is never the people who are self-motivated, who are driven, who are emes masmidim. I think even the secular Israelis don't have a problem for the most part with us. The secular Israelis don't have a problem with Talmei Chacham and Gedolei HaTorah. They never had a problem with that. They have a problem when they look out the window in the office and they've been there for 3 hours and they see some guy walking around with groceries at 10:30 in the morning. That they have a problem. And they also have a problem with their kids going to fight in the last war and the next war, and that guy's walking around complaining about the government while he's holding his groceries. They have a problem. I mean, Ben Al-Mechaver, it's a good kasha. It's a strong kasha, Ben Al-Mechaver. There's going to have to be some beer over these things very soon. But this is the way education works. Baruch Shemos, Ha'ilom L'Shem, Baruch Ha'am Nesgaros, Ha'mashlita, Seydev, Yitzivas, B'shonim, Shekoi Zukukas L'kach. Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given the Torah over to people who hopefully are taking responsibility to teaching Torah. And the Torah has to be taught in such a way where there's clear Nesgaros, where people are studying and learning in this way, in a strong and stable and clear way, especially during those years. Those years, 20, 30, and so on. Ad Malay Shleshim, Akar Lakach, till the age of 30, near that age. Starm V'toch Nios, Mezgarvus V'Shi'ifais. It's not only for learning, Rav Kulge explains. It's not only when it comes to learning, but to have Starm, clear Starm, and Toch Niot means goals, right, plans. Mezgarvus V'Shi'ifais, Mezgarvus, to be in a clear framework, and Shi'ifas with aspirations and goals. Mishamshim gam ezer chayim l'nefoshes rabbis. Bechlau. That helps in life, with everything in life. That helps with everything in life. This is what a lot of the fathers, that the girls are bringing home these guys, and these guys are coming. The father asks the boy, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What is it? They can't get a straight answer from a lot of the guys. There's nothing clear. To have starim and tachnios and mezgaros and sheifas, that's good for everything in life. Shabaifyan einam nesugolus luchyos l'loy hagdor brura. A person really can't live a normal life without having hagdor brura, without things being clearly defined. It's not the right way to live. Terem yetzah odem yibesa, before a person leaves home, page 108. Yadeh lahechem panav muados, no? A normal person, when he leaves his house, he knows where he's going. People in Nebuchadnezzar are not normal, you see them walking around the street. You know, but a person, a healthy person, he leaves his house, and he has a place where he has to go. He has an address where he has to get to. That's the way a normal person lives. At every time of life, we need to have a book of addresses. With whatever we're doing, we have to have a place where we're going. Where do we want to get to? But the hardest question I could ask a guy now is, where do you see yourself? You know, when they ask like these questions, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? and that this is like the guy's thrown for a loop. I can't. What are you asking me such a tricky question? How could you ask me such a thing? Where do I see myself 5 years from? So now say like some kind of from thing. Who knows the Baruch Shalom, the Balabas, it's all up to Eibishter. You know, like these kind of things. It's all up to Eibishter. Eibishter wants you to be a Baal Seichel, to have Seder in your life, and to think. We understand that the Baruch Shalom runs the world, and you can have all the plans in the world, and it doesn't have to turn out that way. But to be an Ish Seder, a Masudah, and with a Tochnit, and with an idea, and with an Esgaris of life, a person doesn't leave home without knowing where he's going. Then he ate Sayala Ruach, doesn't go stam out into the wind. Bloy Tochnit Mugderis, without having some sort of a plan. See, now you have the thing with the GPS, which is, that I like a lot. The GPS is a very, very wonderful thing. But there's a little bit of a chesaron. I'm not saying chalila to be makatrig on it because it would be very bad if it would go away. It's a very good thing, but it used to be that before I would go someplace, I had to know very, very much like where I was going, and I had to get clear instructions, directions, and I'm very, very bad with directions, so I'd have to write it down, and then my wife would tell me if it's like this and like that, and a certain idea. Now I said, you don't have to worry. I just go, I don't know where this is, I don't know what state it's in. I just, that you have to know, you have to press on the thing. But you press on the thing, beep, 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 and just go. I'm at foot. And then you just go. And you don't know where you're going. You put your hands like completely, you put yourself completely in the hands of the thing, and you go. So that's a tremendous mindset, saves a lot of time and aggravation. But like everything in life, there's a certain price that you pay for that. Also, that happens that the directions are getting lost is a waste of time. It's more chashuv not to get lost. But there was never such a thing. Can you imagine if 20 years ago someone would have got to a car and asked him, where are you going? He says, I don't know. Where are you going? I know I have to go to some place. I have to go someplace in Syracuse on April Maple Drive 15 in Syracuse. So how do you get there? I don't know. So what are you doing? I'm just going to drive and hope I get there. But that's what we all do now. We have the GPS. But the problem is that in life people are doing that. In life they're doing that. They're just I don't know. What do you plan? I don't know. Right now, today, I like learning. What are you going to do next? I don't know. If it could be, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Like these kind of discussions you have. I've been doing this for 33 years with guys. These are the kind of discussions you have. Yeah, oh, I don't know, maybe, could be. Yeah, you think so? Maybe. Yeah, you think it's a good idea? Okay, maybe. It's hard to marry your daughter off to a guy like that. But we have no choice. That's just how it is, because that's what's going on. So you want. So kach choshem ela shem skukim l'tfusim berurim sheyagdiru es maslu limudayim. This is how people feel. Those in particular who are not as self-driven and motivated to have. Very clear, planned, laid out, a path of what we're learning. Zo inyin shel oifi. It's a certain type, it's a certain way. We understand it. Achadveikus vahasimcha b'nois natar. Let's go back. We're going back now to the original subject. To tie it all together. We want to be able to have that, to recapture, or to hold on to that feeling of dveikus and simcha. With the Baruch Shalom, the one who gave us the Torah, with the Chosin. Hayne losher v'luchiyos es eis tayer kalim v'oid nesala. We want to come back to that, feeling of what it was like being with the Kadosh Baruch Hu under the chuppah. Nasas ayidekach she Yehudi poil es maisi hamitzvos v'oisi b'Torah Kadosh l'shem etzem ha'maisi. The truth is, after all that we just spoke about, having clear, defined goals, and objectives, which is very, very important, as we were just learning. But when it comes to dveikus, When it comes to Simcha and Dveikus, the truth is, he says, really that comes from a person who, when he does mitzvahs and he's Oisib Gitarah Kedosha, L'shem Etzem HaMaisa. It's not, it can't be purely for some goal or for some objective. It can't be just to get the satisfaction of having reached some goal that I set to myself. Again, imagine that in a marriage. It would also be a strange thing. If the entire marriage, again, there needs to be balance, obviously. But if the entire marriage consisted only, again, of goals, objectives, misgaris, and so on. If that was the whole marriage, sometimes they have, you know, if you've heard these kind of lashanas, there'll be a young couple that will come in, engage or something, and how are you planning to do? What are you thinking about mitsham? Oh, we hope to have our first child when we're like 26 or something like that, because we're working on our careers now and then. Maybe we'll be 32. We'd like to have four children, I think, like that, in our marriage. It's like you can't live like that either. Not just because we don't know what Hashgacha is, but in a relationship, there's more than goals and objectives as well. As important as those are, it's not just a matter of being in a mezgeris and reaching certain goals and objectives. Shuv, gamim elan etzrochem. Even though this is something that's needed and it's healthy. Machmas oifya, machmas agil, especially because of a particular personality that needs that more than others. That people that by nature they're very more noted to have cares. I mean, they're just not disciplined. The people who are not disciplined. So they need that much more. And especially young people need that much more. But you have to always know that as important as those, as the Seder is, and the Mizgeras, and all that we were just talking about the last 15-20 minutes, as important as all of that is, they're just Kelim Chitzonim. That's not the Tachlis. That's not the Tachlis of why you're learning Torah. That's not the Tachlis of why you're married. The tachlis, apnimis, is the kesha amiti, is the ahava, and the dveikis, and the simcha. If you're not going to live with sdorim in a seder, with clearly defined boundaries in Torah and mitzvahs, and in marriage with goals, objectives, and so on, so then there's a very strong likelihood that the whole program, everything's going to fall apart. Which happens. As you know, very often with people who are lomba sudarim, they can be very, very loving, caring, warm, emotional people, fantastic people. There's a guy that I haven't seen him since we were like in sixth grade. Then he moved somewhere away from New York. I haven't seen him all the years. I met him recently, and it was one of those things that I wouldn't have put down money on a bet, but I would have said that I would put down money on a bet. For what he told me. So I asked him, how's he doing with this and that? So he told me that he's now, it's his fourth marriage. He's married, he had three divorces, and it's his fourth marriage. But, and I said, I didn't say to him anything, but I mean, whatever, had the children, but when we were kids, this guy was everywhere, but in such a crazy way. Very good natured, but crazy, all over the place. A million things, and nothing. He was always when he would come into class, was things falling on the floor when he would walk by to go to his desk, and he was always late, and then the baby was always yelling at him, and he was always at his homework, and he would take out his homework. It was like a ball, like crumpled. He would find it somewhere underneath. It was like everything was crazy. It was just not Masuda. So his whole life is not Masuda. His whole life is not Masuda. And I bet you that each one of those wives would say he's a really nice guy, because he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But you can't live with them. They're a nice guy. There are people like that in life. It's very extreme. There are people like that. So you can't, with those people, think they could be the nicest, most loving people, but their lives oftentimes don't work out. Things just don't work out. On the other hand, if you have a person whose entire life is all about what? West Point, right? That's the whole life, it's just that. Seder. And so, like you have now, they made like also in the, they made this thing up in our little world that by a certain amount of dates you have to already be holding by this, or a certain amount of dates you have to be holding by that. Who came down from Har Sinai with such halachas like this? That, you know, the whole thing is so strange to me, and I'm all for keeping things within the right time framework. I don't think it should be open ended. You know, it's not. It could become inappropriate to stomp, to drag around a guy and a girl. I'm not advocating for that either. But on the other hand, to say, like, for the guy to look at the girl and to say, you know, this is the fifth grade, the fifth date. I think we have to drop the shotgun, something like that. So, where does it say that we have to do that? I don't want to drop the shotgun at this point. I don't feel I'm comfortable doing that. Or we already went out 8 times. I think we need to get engaged already. Something like that. But these are things you hear all the time. And I said, what does it say such a thing? Who told you that? So you heard in some on a tape from somebody, some rabbi. I don't know where these things come from. What's considered to be appropriate, what's considered to be inappropriate. For one person, it could be they need to go out 15, 16 times. For another person, it could be after 15, 16 minutes, there's such a thing. Although they have to watch out with those types. But where does it say, state such a thing then? That it became such an Indian like that. And I always tell that to my children. So it's a lot to say about how many times that daddy looks. I say, I don't care. If the boy already reached his shia, and he says that, and his yeshiva said that he's not allowed to go out more than 6 times, when you need more time, then tell him that's not for you. Then she looks at me, what do you mean? I said, no, there's no shia. Tell him there's no shia. I don't know, we have to see. You see, it takes more time. Not a machine. It doesn't come like that with everybody. Some people's like this, some people's like that. I know that after fleshes, you have to wait 6 hours to eat milk. Other than that, I'm not so sure how these things work. But it has to do like that. I don't know where it says anything like that. So also you can't live like that. Because when it comes to kesha pnimi, when it comes to people caring for each other, loving each other, I would love, when it comes to feeling comfortable in a kesha pnimi, how do you make for that exactly as man? So it's the seventh date, and the clock strikes 12, and it's now 3 minutes to 12. And the Nebuch, they look at each other, the boy and the girl, say, I know it's 3 minutes to 12, it's going to be this the sixth date. I think by now we really have to care for each other. In 3 minutes, we're going to have to really care for each other. 3 minutes from now, I don't know, or else my Rosh is going to tell me I have to stop dating you. So you have 3 minutes to like me. This is normal? Is ever people sitting? No, so they used to make, in the old days, he made a shidduch, the parents made a shidduch, okay. And then if you're not in mode that you leave everything up to the Baruch Hu, up to your parents, then do that. Then don't go dating. So what's the boy doing running around with a girl for 7 dates, for 1 hour? What are you running around? My cousins in Williamsburg never went on dates. That's what they believe in. So now we have this other thing now. It's called dating. But then they want to make that into a science. But that's not what it is. It's two human beings trying to get to know each other. Again, be careful, shouldn't get dragged on in the things that are inappropriate. But it's to say, like, from this date to the next date, to these kind of things, it's not a science. They're human beings. So a relationship can't consist between people purely of rules and regulations, goals and objectives and a program and so on. But a relationship also cannot be completely missing Chas v'Shalom, a maslul, a path. And it's a very delicate balancing act to find the right mahalach in this inyan. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu, ach etzam halimud v'hakiyum, Harehem kedoy shel yoyna. The tachlis is not finishing the mesechta, finishing this particular parasha or even finishing some great sefer that you're writing. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is Tiveikus Basha, a relationship with the Bnei Shalom. That whole misgeris, that whole maslul, that whole program is only to help facilitate a relationship. Not for its own sake. It's not for the sake of having a program. The program is only for the sake of having a relationship. But in a healthy life, most of the time, with healthy people, unless there's some sort of a misgeris, then it's gonna fall apart. The whole learning will fall apart. And the mitzvahs will fall apart. You see, the Baruch Shalom didn't say to us, say Kriyat Shema, Kindlech, whenever you like. Could have done that. It would have been more romantic, no? The Baruch Shalom says, we all love each other. When you feel like saying Kriyat Shema, you say Kriyat Shema. How come the Baruch Shalom didn't give it like that? He gave up Yiddishkeit in such a funny way. 9:21. It's a funny thing, no? Yeah, but I'm trying to have a relationship with you. I'm trying to have this deep feeling. It's 9:21. The Baruch Shem says, well, it's 9:21. You got to work up a relationship by that time, 9:21. So then how is that possible? The Torah says, it's not always possible. It's not always possible. And it could be 9:21 will come, and you don't feel that way. Unless we're talking about a certain tzaddik. We're not talking about hagas of tzaddik. That's not, we're not, but just regular people. So don't say, what about the Amshanova? Don't be kashish. They're more kashish to ask on us than on the Amshanova. So what the Baruch Shalom is saying is like this. Listen, you know what? You try to work it out by 9:21. Try to feel by 9:21. By the seventh date, like that, try to feel by 9:21. But if you don't, make sure you say Krishna by 9:21. You know why? Because if you're going to start ignoring 9:21, then the whole thing's going to fall on the floor. There won't be anything between us at all, because that's how life is. And you see this with the people that are not Misudarim. You see this Keseda. And they're the ones that usually talk most about love and about spontaneity and so on and so forth. They don't believe in Zman Kriyishma. They think that it's open. Kriyishma is Hashem Echad. Vahavta is Hashem Echad. What do you want? By 9:21 I should come to Vahavta Zman. So it's not Vahavta. So the Baruch Shalom says, okay, so today won't be such a big Vahavta. But at least you're a Yid. And you say Kriyishma. Tomorrow try better. Should work out. Maybe we'll have a little bit more something on, but you don't drop the 9:21. You don't ignore the 9:21. You start to ignore that number. And we see this through history. When Jews start to ignore those things, the luach. When they start to ignore the luach, again, I'm not talking about tzaddikim. When you start to ignore the luach, so then there's no longer Hashem Echad. Forget about the v'ahavta. The v'ahavta. There's no Hashem Echad. You never get to the Vahavta. Vahavta is already a long time out there. But Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means there's a luach. There's a mezgeres. There's a goal. There's an objective. That by this time, the whole davening is set up in such a way. So why don't you say the same thing? How come Chazal didn't say like it was originally? Just say whatever you like. Rabbi Shalom. It's part of this. Just whatever you like. Talk to Rabbi Shalom in your own words, in your own way. And there was a time in the beginning, again, there was much more self-motivation and people more driven and people more disciplined. But then, as the Rambam writes, and we know what happened, is that it was falling apart. So then the Chacham came along and said, Kimlach, enough of this stuff. This is what you have to say. You have a Mahalach. You have Brachas. You have Psukkah Dezimra. You have Kriyishma. Kriyishma. Shema Esrei. This is the Mahalach. Just make sure you go for this Mahalach. Yeah, but what about the spontaneity? You have to work on that. And the tachlis of the brachas pesukim zimmer bechus kishma kishma shmanesh. The tachlis is, of course, dveikus b'Hashem. And if your whole life becomes just a life of 9:21, then there's not going to be any relationship either. So this is the difficult balance that we have to find in life. But that's the tachlis. The zman, the 9:21, is not the tachlis. You know how sad it is when you meet a Jew that's the tachlis, 9:21. It's such a sad thing because you know he's a beautiful person and you see that his whole Yiddishkeit just causes him aggravation and tension and it's not a simcha. You know? It's just the whole thing is 9:21. That's the whole thing is 9:21. That's not a relationship. That's a schedule. That's not a relationship. So the way to be able to continue on with Maimon HaSinai is by combining these two, of course, not to become depressed over the day-to-day routine, but at the same time, not to, God forbid, think that that's the Tachlis. Not to forget that there's a Maimon HaSinai. Not to forget that the whole Tachlis is Anoich Hashem Elokecha. That's the Tachlis. Ach etzem alimud v'akim harehem kedusha al yoyna. Meleya oynig v'simcha. Filled with delight and with joy. Machmas or Hashem is Baruch Shavahem. The mitzvah, Torah mitzvah is filled with light. It's all about the Kodesh Baruch. It's all about... And it should give a person tremendous pleasure. The Yiddishkeit should be a source of tremendous, tremendous joy and pleasure. Same thing with, so what's Pesach with all the preparations for Pesach if it doesn't come to Zman Cheruseinu? So where's the, if it's Pesach, what's it like to have Pesach? With all of the numbers and all of the measuring and all of the shiurim and all of the halachas, without actually feeling Zman Cheruseinu. And not only that, but Chalila, it's oftentimes just the opposite. That the people don't feel it as Zman Cheruseinu, they feel that there's the biggest prison. And they can't wait when they're finished with Pesach. Ah, it's Mechai. When they're able to get back to the pizza shop or something.
Amen.
So why did Baruch Shalom give us all of these things with Pesach? He gave us all these things that we should be able to achieve Cheres, that we should be able to achieve Simcha and Dveikus. So you and I might think that we would have done it differently, but the Baruch Shalom knows what he's doing. And that's how he gave it to us. The tachlis is not how the matzah was like this or like that. It has to be 100%, of course, according to Allah. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis should be mlei oinig b'simcha makmas or Hashem is baruch. Asher behem. That all of our davening, all of our mitzvahs are kelim to bring us to a matzav where we can be chavukim udvukim, to be bound and attached and embracing the Ribbono Shalom, kibishas nisinasa, the way that it was on Har Sinai. All of that is to bring us to that tachlis. וכפי שהאריכו תמליה בעל שם טוב הקודש על הפוסק וידברו לכם אז כל הדברים האלו למה אנוכי השם לקחה. Here you see Nami Lamelech, he talks about this. All the Sram talk about this. When the Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah, Vayidab Lekim is Kol Advarim Ha'ela Lema Anoich Hashem Lekecha. Hashem said, Vayidab Lekim is Kol Advarim Ha'ela. Hashem spoke all of these things. All of these things. 3.1 ounce, 3.3 ounce. Friday night, extra ounces. An extra ounce. The matzah, this size matzah, that much more. Kol Advarim Ha'ela, the Baruch Shalom spoke. Lema what? I want you to be psychotic, nervous people. I want you to be empty and dry people that walk around measuring unleavened bread. That's why I gave you all this stuff. Cleaning your house and doing this for that. No. Look at the pasuk and just read it. This is the way the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. This is the way the Talmidei Baal Shem read the pasuk. Vayidabru Lekim is kol hadvarim ha'ela lema anoich Hashem Elokecha. Shetevas lema lechayra ein lepesha. Some of the Farshim ask, what does it mean lema? Vayidabru Lekim is kol hadvarim ha'ela lema. Lema usually means when you're giving something over to somebody, a mitzvah. Lema anoich Hashem Elokecha. Kibbutz says anoich Hashem Elokecha. I'm Hashem your God. Hen kol yisrael shamu dibrazu yaitzu pi hagvur. Who are you telling it to? All of Klal Yisrael, all Bnei Yisrael heard Hashem say. Remember, that was the one that we heard. Everybody heard Anoich Hashem Elokecha. So what does it mean, Lema? To who? You don't have to tell it to anybody. Everybody heard it. Ela kevona, shimach shekol haTorah kulo afilu mashatamud vazeg osel chadish. The entire Torah, even what any person is going to think of in the future. Hakol nemel Moshe b'Sinai. Everything was told to Moshe from the Har Sinai. Imkain, kol tevas Torah sheyerma kol echad ve'echem Yisrael. Every word of Torah that a Jew will ever speak. Ad soif kol hadorot till the end of all generations. Hayu ka'ina ach Hashem Yisbarach shekvar omer sadover b'Sinai. It's all a way of chazing, of repeating, of answering, of responding to Hashem Yisbarach at Har Sinai. V'zeh she'tziva Hashem Yisbarach b'Har Sinai leima, haynu, she'yedaber ha'peh Yisraeli yiskol Hashem mitoch groina shel Yehudi. Hashem wants us to bring His voice into our throats. And every single thing that He's telling us is to come to this tachlis of what? Anoich Hashem Elokecha. How much trembling, a pachet, and joy are mixed together in the heart of a Jew. You're saying a Mishnah. You're reading a couple lines of the Gemara. And he knows that is going even on me, Lamer, that I, my mouth is mouthing Hashem's words. And the voice that's coming out of my mouth, even though it's a human voice, but in my voice is the echo of that original voice of Hashem Yisbarach when He gave the Torah Lamer in us, through us. But there's only if a person realizes this. A person thinks about this when he's learning Torah. But if a person's thoughts are only, I have to finish this Bar Gemara. I have to finish writing this Sefer. I have to have this, whatever, this mitzvah with this amount. And that's all he's thinking about. That he has to finish up the Daf Yomi, he has to finish up whatever he made for himself, his goal. That's all he thinks about. Which has a lot to making himself bigger, not to connect to Hashem. Just, I finished. I did this. I feel better about myself. Then mafsid b'kachas at dveikus. Then the person loses this way. He loses the dveikus. The libay zaycher is mesek hatam hiloy shahaybav yom chasam also. In the heart, the person is able to remember the sweetness of that taste that was shining inside of him on the day of the Chasna Zem Atm Tayran Shuas, or beyond Simchas Libah Eis Chosh Nivcha V'Nechshak B'Chek Hashem, when he felt so beloved by Hashem, that it was the Kala Mamish in Hashem's eyes on that day of Shuas. When he Yedeya Es Navshay, Madua B'Chiluf HaYayim, he doesn't know, why is it? Why did this happen to me? That here is the day after Shuas, Kasha Poin Lohaisi L'Poil Asis Kashuas Sobay Yisbrach, and here I'm setting that out to learn all the program of learning that I set up for myself on Shavuos, that now, after Shavuos, I'm going to finish this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And what happened to my feelings? For Isaac B'Tar Mitzvahs, Pog Hemenu, Zeich Arochik L'Oinig HaNisuin. He lost the whole feeling of the Chasna. And here I am, keeping my program that I set up by the Chasna. Ram Vadai, Shechelik Man HaMayna HaLkach. Clearly, part of the answer to this is Talmud Ben Yosef in this. She'etzem halimud ne'apach m'ikim atiroso el inyonim acherim. She'ifas achadoyim. Because what happened was he lost the tachlis. He forgot the tachlis of learning. He forgot the tachlis of all that we're doing. And it became what? All of his goals and objectives and his she'ifas, all of his aspirations and so on, she'em tzodim b'yachas alikar, which are really just a way to get to the ikar. That's not the tachlis. The program, that's not the tachlis. The aside, of course, is the etzem of who we are, and hakesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the point of the whole program is, lahadkai el anochi, of what this person is doing, not the way it should be. What's happened to this person is, it's all lahadkai el anochi yusai. It's only to make himself stronger and more accomplished in his own eyes. I finished this. I accomplish this. I understand this thesis. I understand, and so on and so forth. That's all for him. That's not for a relationship. So he says that's really most of the answer is that he's wondering, like, what happened to that feeling? What happened after the chasna? It's the same thing in a marriage. It's the same thing. Everything we're learning here, you could take into the muscle of a marriage. It's exactly the same thing. That a lot of those things, with all of the avoidance in the marriage, a lot of it has to do with the person himself, not with a kesher with the other person. And this is a big, big subject in the Indian of ish v'ishta, on a relationship, on what the other person needs, and what the other person needs from you. Not in terms of what you made for yourself, a goal, but what the other person needs from you. at this moment in life, from our marriage, and so on, with friendships, parents, and children, who? No, we should be zeichet as Hashem. We find in the Sefer Yechezkel that we find an interesting thing, that Pesach is also called Shavuos, because the whole tachlis of Pesach is to come to Shavuos. Pesach is not stam. Without Shavuos, what's Pesach? You have to have an objective. You have to have a goal. And the goal is to mekabel the Torah. That's the goal, to mekabel the Torah. But if a person comes to Shavuos, but he loses the Pesachdik, that Pesachdik cheres, then if there was no Pesach, this is not Shavuos. Without Shavuos, there's no Pesach. You have to have Pesach and Shavuos. That's what the Ramban says. It's like one big Chol HaMoed assignment. You have to have. You can't have a Pesach without a Shavuos. You can't have feelings without Shavuos. You can't have Shavuos without a Pesach. You have to have both. You have to have both. And that's Shavuos. We'll be able to come to the Yom Tov of Pesach. We'll be able to count down the days to the Chasna, and to be zochah for the big, big Chasna again of the Gush Lai Vamitis on me.